Thankful that you reveal things to us we'd never otherwise know. Thank you that you're our teacher, and I pray you teach us some things this morning and be an encouragement to us. You're showing us things that are going to happen. You're giving us a heads up, and let us look at this and be in awe of your sovereignty and have our eyes more focused on you. Anoint me with the Spirit that I can only, that I just speak words of the Spirit. And I pray, God, I pray that you open each heart to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. We need to open up your Bibles, or your iPad, or to Luke 21. We're going to stay the whole time in Luke 21 pretty much. And I'm not going to show a lot of the verses on the screen, so if you want to follow along. But to start off with, I read this in Luke 21, verse 5 through 7. And while, and while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" I'll put a little context. Now, we all know where Jerusalem is. Okay, I know. In Israel, Jerusalem. It makes the news. Okay, this is what he's talking about. The Lord was talking the same city. And are you familiar with the Wailing Wall? Okay, the Wailing Wall. And you see the guys and Jewish people, they have their little cap on and stuff. And they'll, you know, they'll bob their head and stuff. And they'll be at the Wailing Wall. Okay, that's the Wailing Wall. That Wailing Wall is all that's left of the temple. Okay, it's important. So they're saying, they're looking at this temple. They're, wow, look at this temple. Well, it's the same temple, and all that's left is this wall. That's the reason it's so important to the Jewish people, because that's where the temple was, all right? And so they go back to this wall, this Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. So you have Jerusalem, and you have the temple. So at the time of Jesus, Jerusalem was a huge city, all right? Well, it's a huge city now, but it's a huge city with a massive wall around it. And they had this temple built there. And the temple is significant all through the Bible. And really, we're not going to get into it. It reflects as you walk through it and how it was built. It really is a picture of what Christ will do in his salvation, which is a wonderful study. Okay? And we have actually done that before. Okay, so the temple was important even in the Jewish mind, but even as a picture to the Christian mind, so the temple was significant. All right, so here we have the situation. So what in context? You want to know? We have this situation right now, and Jesus, given the context right here, we started out. We've been in Luke for almost a year. Okay, we started out. So he's done his 3-year ministry, and he's coming in to Jerusalem. So here's the context. Okay, Jesus is in Jerusalem. Now remember, the same Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, okay? Jesus is coming into Jerusalem during the last week of his life, and his followers think he is going, his followers think he is going to set up the physical kingdom. That's what they think. They're excited. Hey, we're coming in, and we're watching. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to kind of take over. And so they're in there, and they know the temple has to be a centerpiece, and so they're admiring this temple. And as they admire the temple, Jesus declares to them its total destruction. I mean, what a killjoy. I mean, it's like, oh man. So he tells them, no, you're praising this, look at this beautiful temple. And there's drawings of the temples. You can look it up and stuff online, and they'll have reproductions of drawings. It was massive. It was a massive temple. So what you have here, that they're just admiring this, and Jesus tells them about its total destruction. So that's the context. So they're coming in here, and you're going, see, they're trying to piece this thing together. The whole thing's going to be destroyed. Now, soon, it's soon destruction. Now, here's a little note, and if you're taking notes or thing, register in your mind, this is important fact here about Luke. Luke is a Gentile. Amen? We know that? He's not Jewish. I believe Luke is the only non-Jewish writer in the Bible. He's the only Gentile written in the Bible. He writes Luke. He writes the book of Acts. All right. Rest of them are Jewish writers except Luke. So what we have here is that Luke is giving, he's addressing this end times issue, and he does it a little different than what's recorded in Matthew and Mark. Matthew and Mark cover the same stuff. Both of them are Jewish, all right? And it's interesting, Matthew and Mark are interesting, but Luke addresses it, the end times, a little different than Matthew and Mark, because he's a Gentile, and he's doing an investigation, and he's seeing this from a Gentile's eyes, Now, what we see with Luke is that Luke makes a very clear distinction between the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the end times. He makes a clear distinction. When you read Matthew and Mark, it's kind of mixed in. It's harder to figure out, or harder to understand. But in Luke, he makes a real clear distinction. We think it's a Gentile. He says, okay, here's Jerusalem. Boom, they're done. And now here's after the destruction of Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. So that's important to remember. Luke makes a clear distinction as we look at this. And the reason I'm making this point, because these end time sections in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, people don't agree on this. I mean, they don't agree what's happening here. So when you look at what Luke's doing, you see it's a little different. He records the question different, and he records the answer different. All right? So now what we have here, he makes this clear distinction. Then so this is like verse 5 through 7. So we see, mental note here, as you get down to verse 24, in verse 24, there's a clear transfer of focus from the Jews to the Gentiles. All right? Verse 24, there's a clear change of focus from the Jews to the Gentiles. Then what we see after this change of the focus from the Jews to the Gentiles, what we see that there is what he calls the times of the Gentiles. He records it's the times of the Gentiles. So he's went to Jews. He says, now we're in the times of the Gentiles. And so what we see now in verse 25, we see Jesus' second coming after the times of the Gentiles. You all with me? All right. Because this is important. If you don't understand this or have an understanding, you're not going to understand these sections of Scripture. And again, Luke is a little more clear because he divides it more clearly, okay, as a Gentile like that. So what we have here is that you have this picture. They ask the question. Boom. And what's the question about? The temple. That's what they ask about. He said, not one stone left on another. When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? And then so what he does, he answers their immediate question. And after he answers their question, in verse 24, he switches it over from the Jews to the Gentiles, and he talks about the second coming. Okay, makes sense? I don't know if y'all think that makes sense or not, but that makes sense anyway. Now, here's another note you kind of keep in your mind. You'll see signs given here. Different signs, you know, given here. And you need to understand that these signs reoccur all throughout history, and they will be more evident and increasing intensity towards the end times when Jesus comes back the second time. So this stuff keeps happening, all right? It's like people don't get any smarter, and neither does Satan. So they just redo the same things they're doing, and you have the same problems showing up, and they're increasing intensity. But in this section right here, we're going to read, has to do, he's telling the disciples right here, what's going to happen in 70 AD. Okay? Now, here's another point. This is about 30 AD. Think Christ was crucified, anything about 33 AD. But to round the numbers off, this is 30 AD. So Jesus is talking about to his disciples about something that's going to happen in 40 years. Between 30 AD and 70 AD, this is important, almost the entire New Testament Bible was written. The church is established in these 40 years. So when he tells them this, it's significant that Jerusalem and temple is gone. Christ has replaced it. So they're seeing this. So this is important information, that this 40 years is important information. The only two books that were written after 70 AD is the Gospel of John and Revelations. All the rest of it's right in that piece. So that's the reason they're paying attention. We need to understand. So he's talking to people that are going to live in the church age before the destruction of Jerusalem, but that also will continue after the destruction of Jerusalem. So they can understand what's going on. See, well, gosh, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. God messed up. No, he tells them up front. This is going to happen. Okay? You ready? All right, we're ready. So here's what he says. Here's what Luke says about from Jesus' time around 30 AD to 40 AD. Here's what's happening. And he said, this is verse 8, and he said, and Jesus said, he's warning them, and Jesus said, see that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. The time is at hand. We talked that they're still doing this. I am the Christ. I knew a guy one time, he's always following this thing, and he is the Christ. What, how can you say that? Oh, and he's going to come back. And here, you know, it's like, so Jesus, it's going to happen. These people are happening. This is what happened. Well, it's going to happen between 30 A.D. and 70 A.D. also. But it doesn't, it just keeps happening. Anyway, so here we go. So for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Now that's important. It will not be at once. All this stuff's going to happen, but the end doesn't come at once. Then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and signs from heaven. Now, but there's going to be signs and things in heaven. That is recorded. Things happen in the heavens. I mean, right now, something I didn't know anything I shared with people. Said, oh, there's blood moons, and they were starting to interpret scripture. I'm like, what's a blood moon? I can't even tell you what it is now because I read this. I don't care what it is, you know. But so there's stuff happening. But he says, so this stuff is going to happen. Don't let it fool you. And he goes on to say this. So there'll be great signs in heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues. Wait a minute. End times. How many in the recent history do you know anybody been you know, laid hands on and taken to a Jewish synagogue? When's that happen? It happened between 30 AD and 70 AD when Israel was a nation because they weren't receiving the gospel. The Jews were the one that had Christ crucified. They're not receiving it. And therefore, they would. What was the Apostle Paul? Is the Pharisee. Pharisee of Pharisees. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. A Jew. My heritage is Jewish. What did he do? Persecuted the church. So he's telling them. Okay, they know what's going to happen here. Know what's going to happen here. So they will lay hands on you. So he's telling the believers, they're going to lay hands on you. It's the Jews are going to lay hands on you. That's who he's talking about. The Jews are going to lay hands on you, and they're going to take you to the synagogue and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name. This will be your opportunity. So I love how the Lord does that. You know, they're going to put you in jail. They're going to tell them. They're going to threaten. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to bear witness. About what? Jesus. This is your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. Now, it doesn't tell us here what it says, but in Mark and Matthew it says, because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Okay, I don't know. Luke really highlights the whole, but he just fails to mention it here. He says, don't meditate what you're going to say. You got the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you, all right? But again, he's looking at this 30 to 40, 70 AD, but that happened afterwards also. So then it goes on to say, it says, for don't meditate beforehand on how you to answer it, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will even be put to death. Okay, now, that happens now, and I know situations now. But if you're a Jewish family then, this is what happened. You can't, that the sacrilege to renounce your Jewish faith. Okay, and it says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Now, we're coming up to 70 A.D. Now, we know that happened afterwards, but he's telling his disciples before the destruction of this temple, that's going to happen. And he says, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Now, he just said some of you are going to be killed, all right? But he says, if you stand firm, not a hair of your head will perish. And by your endurance, you'll gain your lives. What does he mean? Jesus has an eternal mindset. I'm not going to take your body away, but you're eternally alive. Don't worry about it. You go, I'm there. I said, that's easy for you to say. But that's what he's saying. He said, don't worry about it. Nothing will perish. Okay, if they're going to persecute you, don't worry. Not a hair of your head will perish. You're going to endure. You'll gain your lives because you'll never die for eternal life. All right? So, that's what he's talking about in that section. So, that happens. Everybody, you have something in your Bible, draw a line under 19. Okay, boom. That's happened. Okay, that's what's going to happen. And he's telling his disciples, he's giving them a heads up. Now, this next verse is fascinating. This next verse is fascinating to me. I tell you something, my wife says, it's funny. I was showing her, I says, man, isn't this interesting? She says, yeah, to you. Okay, she said, I don't think anybody else is interested in that but you. I said, okay, so this may be one of those verses. But to me, this verse is fascinating. The next verse, so he's telling his disciples, he says, gosh, when they're going to destroy the temple, what is the sign? So he gives them all this information so they know. Right? Then he says this. He tells them this prophetic warning. This is fascinating. Have an overhead here. Luke 21:20. Now he's continuing. He says, but, all this has happened, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Now, this is unique to Luke. This is unique to me. It's not in Matthew and it's not in Mark. So he tells them, he goes, when is the temple going to be destroyed? He goes, listen, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you know the desolation has come. No. When you see the, so he's telling them something, right? Amen. He's giving them a warning. Now I'll share something with you. When Titus came with the Roman army and surrounded Jerusalem, he didn't let anybody out. He didn't let anybody out. Okay, they went in and destroyed it. And there's a lot of reasons for that we can't get into, because the Jewish leadership inside wouldn't let the people out either, because they wanted the people in there to fight and they wouldn't let them out and the Romans wouldn't let them out. So they're stuck. So when Titus came with his armies, they didn't leave. Now, I've read some things, you know, well, this. No, they didn't leave. Okay, historical. He surrounded the army and the Jews couldn't get out. But it says here, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know the desolation is near, and the end is near. Now here, this is important. In 68 A.D., when was Jerusalem destroyed? 70 A.D. In 68 A.D., Vespasian, y'all know good old Vespasian. By the way, he's Titus's father, just in case you know, all right? So, here. Vespasian was the general there, and so what he did, he came to Jerusalem, because they're giving the Romans a fit, okay? The Jews were giving the Romans a fit. So Vespasian comes to Jerusalem and surrounds it and will not let anyone out in 68 A.D. But situations came up, and he changed his mind. And he took all his army and left. Jesus said, when you see that, get out of Dodge. Get out of town. See what I'm saying? So in 60 A.D., and Josephus, the Jewish historian that was alive at that time, writes about this in detail. He's not a believer. He's a Jewish. He writes about this in detail, about Vespasian's army coming around and surrounding it, and they're going to conquer it, and so they think they're done. Then he just hooks up and leaves. With his all the Roman leaders, he leaves. What is Jesus saying? When that happens, leave. All the believers, you better get out, because the desolation is coming. Is that not fascinating? Is anybody as fascinated with that as I am? Not many people talk about that. A few, but not many. They just kind of skip over. I said, wait, don't. I mean, if they skipped over it, they're all dead. I mean, you don't skip over something when Jesus said. So that's a huge verse to me, and that's a prophetic. Jesus, I'm telling you when this is happening so you can save your skin. Now, only thing is, listen to believers. He said, believers, get out, because I'm fixing to lay this thing out. All right, and we see all in the New Testament, Peter stayed in Jerusalem a long time after others left, you know, and then he was one of the last ones to go out. But anyway, so you see that prophetic word to get them out of Jerusalem before he destroys it. Now, I hope y'all are just totally excited about that. Anyway, now Jesus continues, and he elaborates on this destruction, okay? He says, now this, when this army surrounds you, I'm telling you what to do. Verse 21, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those inside the city depart, and let not those who are out of the country enter in. I mean, it's a bad time to say, hey, hon, let's go to Jerusalem and have a party. It's just a bad time to do that. He says, no, you got to leave. For these are the days of vengeance. Vengeance? What a word. Vengeance on whom? Vengeance. Who rejected Jesus and persecuted the Christians? The first ones. The Jews. And God said, I think he got upset. This is the days of vengeance. On who? The Gentiles? No. On the Jews. On Jerusalem. Because they rejected Christ. Said, so are these the days of vengeance to fulfill what is written, which goes all back into the Old Testament that prophesies about this. Then it says, I mean, it's going to be bad. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against the people. Now, great distress upon the earth. Now, and that's a good translation, but that word is also translated land. They use it interchangeably. You know, this is a good land. This is a good earth. I mean, so land helps us out of it. He says, because there will be great distress upon the land and wrath against the people. Which people? Which people? Jews. There's going to be wrath against the land. Israel, they rejected Christ. And there is going to be wrath against the people. The Jews. So he's saying, this is what's happening. I'm telling you, you better get out because this is going to happen. So the believers know. The believers know. And it says, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, Josephus, the historian, Josephus is a great guy. I mean, he's fascinating. Just give you a little background. Josephus was a Jewish general, all right? And what he did, he led a Jewish army against the Roman legions. Nobody beat the Roman legions. I mean, they just, that was their, you know, history. They pretty much annihilated everybody. So you have the Jews. Josephus is a general. He gets an army together, and he defeats the Romans. You know what the Romans did? Okay. Get more troops, we're heading to Israel. We're going to get a hold of this guy. So they defeat his army and capture him. But the guy who captured him is so impressed with it. This guy, I mean, he's a smart cookie. I mean, this is a talented guy. And so they keep them with the Roman. He stays with the Roman army. He didn't have anything else to do, so he just records everything. That's Josephus. So Josephus is a Jew being captive by the Roman army, and so he goes with them wherever they go, and he writes everything down. He wrote about Vespasian surrounding Jerusalem, and he writes about Titus conquering Jerusalem 7 AD because he was there. He watched it. So you're getting a firsthand account. This is not what somebody else. So that's who Josephus is. All right. So what he does is he writes this account of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And here's a quote, just a small quote. And it says this: Titus, Josephus said, Titus and the Roman army encompassed the city when it was crowded with inhabitants. Accordingly, the multitude of those that therein perished exceeded all the destruction that either men or God ever brought upon the entire world. It's such a slaughter, he couldn't imagine anything worse. Now, it is estimated that there were over 3 million people crowded into Jerusalem because it was the Passover. All the Jews go to Jerusalem. You can't celebrate Passover. You know, you get these cute things, and I really like it, and you go to these different Jews, and they celebrate Passover. They know they're not supposed to celebrate there. The only place to celebrate Passover is in Jerusalem. It's the reason they want it back, and that's the reason they're not leaving. You see what I'm saying? So it's Passover, so all the Jews, there's over 3 million going in. It's packed, and Titus surrounds it. It's an unbelievable massacre. Is a massacre. And then there's another place I read you before. It was so bad that Titus the emperor says, God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. God, this is not my fault. Now he said that because it's like this got out of control. It's a huge destruction. Jesus knew it. He's telling the guys, 60 AD, Vespasian's right, get out. Don't, because I'm going to destroy. It's vengeance on the people. And when all the people will come, is on Passover. See what I'm saying? So this is what happened. So what we have here, and by the way, you can look up the destruction of Jerusalem. Historically, it is a staggering amount of loss, death at the time. Jesus is telling them. Now, so here's the deal that, like, okay, and it's vengeance upon the people, and it's vengeance for rejecting Christ. The nation, the religious hierarchy, all right? Now, what we'll look at here is something that's real fascinating. It's another fascinating verse, okay? We've got two fascinating verses here. This is the second one. And so in this verse, after this destruction in 70 AD, Jesus says that the city of Jerusalem will continue to be trampled down by the Gentiles. That means the Jewish people aren't in control. All right? Jerusalem will continue to be trampled down by the Gentiles. The Jews are out. The Jews are out. Until, and by the way, he calls this the time of the Gentiles. This is the time of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to trample down Jerusalem. Kick the Jews out. It's called the times of the Gentiles. Okay. They're going to trample it down until the times of the Gentiles are complete. All right? Now, so what we have here, that there's an implication. God, where's God going to send the gospel? He sends it to the Gentiles. Now, he sent it through Paul. He said, I would minister to the Gentiles between 30 AD and 40 AD. I mean, 70 AD. 40. He's still ministering to Gentiles. But after 70 AD, it's all Gentiles. We're going around the world to the Gentiles. So he said, you know, that's going to take a while. They don't take. So the Jewish nation is not going to be of any significance. It's going to be trampled down by the Gentiles until the gospel, implicit in that, until the gospel, I need time to spread the gospel around the world. And the Gentiles will be in Jerusalem and trample it down while I'm spreading the gospel around the world. I think it's going to take a while. It's the times of the Gentiles. But when I get done, the times of Gentiles will be fulfilled. Meaning, I suppose they wouldn't have to trample Israel down, right? You're with me? I just want to share something with you. This is a Wallace-ism, and so don't include it in any of your notes or anything. Don't include it. This is a Wallace-ism. But there's something very interesting about this. Very interesting. In 1948, the Jews took possession of Israel. The Gentiles aren't trampling it down anymore. In 1948, they took possession of it. It was a residual off the Holocaust, of all the persecutions during World War II, and they flooded into Israel and into that. But so in 1948, it wasn't the Gentiles in control of it, it was the Jews for the first time since 70 AD in 1948. In 1967, they took over East Jerusalem and had control of the Temple Mount in 1967. No Gentiles. The Jews are in control of Israel and Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Looks like the times of the Gentiles might be fulfilled. And after the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then the second coming of Christ comes after that. Now, here's another little detail that's interesting. I just think this is funny. I was born in 1948. Me and Israel came on the scene at the same time. In 1948, I was born, you know. And in 1967, I graduated from high school. See, me and Israel, just like that. Okay, we're just like that. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So it's like, that's interesting. And he says, the times are fulfilled. Times of the Gentiles fulfilled. So something is shaken. Something's shaken. All right? Anybody find that interesting? I find that fascinating. All right? Now, so here we have, so let's look at that verse, verse 21, 24. They will fall, have an overhead here. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all the nations. Josephus said over 120,000 Jews were led captive. Over 1 million, he says, were killed. Okay, says 120 were led captive. Okay, so they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive in all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled in 1948/1967. Bible's a contemporary book, all right? It's a contemporary book, so we pay a close attention to that. Now, when the end times, when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, okay, and that's all the Bible says, okay? Now, all I said was, okay, interesting, you can process that. The Bible just says when it's fulfilled, when it's fulfilled. So when the time of the Gentiles fulfilled, the end times of Jesus' return will happen. That's what the Bible says. And this is what it says. This is what's going to happen after the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That means Israel, the Jews have control of Israel and Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Verse 21, 25. Now, we've passed 70 AD. Now we're looking for the second return. Now, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nation in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the entire world. We switched off Israel, switched off Jerusalem. And it says, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things, now look at this, every word's important. I mean, it's like, just want to say every word, just like they said, hey, when the army surrounds, that's important, don't skip it, you know, or you're going to be stuck in Jerusalem, and that's not good. So what it says here, when we look at, and we'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Just like he told the people in Jerusalem, if you have Vespasian circles the army, pay attention, he's telling us, pay attention. He's telling us, pay attention. All right. It's not a good verse to skip, okay? He's telling us, pay attention. All right? And he says, straighten, because your redemption is drawing near. Not your judgment. Not your judgment's drawing near. Okay, because we're believers. Our redemption is drawing near. Our redemption is drawing near. So Neve said, he wants us to pay attention to these end time signs because it's evidence of Jesus' returning. So what does Jesus do? He tells a story. He tells a parable. So he gives us an idea. He's helping us out here. So by the way, if anything, he's talking to us right now. Yeah. All right? So he tells them this story starting in verse 29. And Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree. A fig tree. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. Now here's something very important for Luke. Luke is a Gentile, right? Matthew and Mark don't say all the trees. They just said, look at the fig tree. See? Luke's a Gentile. He goes, no, look at the fig tree, which represents Israel. Look at the fig tree. And all the trees. Every nation. Look at Israel and then look at all the nations. This is huge because he says, no, look at all the trees. And he means all the nations. So he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out to leaf. Now we got to think, I guess this is a springtime vision here, okay? As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. You're going to see it. It's coming near. It's coming near. I'm seeing the things around. It's nearer than I thought. So when you see this, and he's giving an example, this fig tree, and all the fig trees, it starts coming to leaf. Ha! I don't see any figs. I mean, it's near because the leaves are starting to come out. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, now this verse, you know what I just said about 1948, 1967, being Israel just like that, you know? Anyway, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until this has taken place. I go, ye gads, that's, you know, I hit on two here. I don't know what the third one is. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, no, pay attention. And by the way, I don't want to scare somebody. Says, oh, Wallace thinks he's going to go, but I don't have any idea. But I think it's a lot nearer than it was. Amen? So he's saying this generation who sees these things happening in the times of the Gentiles are ended, Israel has come back, you know that they're coming, and this generation will not pass away till they take place. And then Jesus adds, just so we'll pay attention, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He says, I'm telling you. Now, we're wrapping this up, but we'll go the whole flow here. So Jesus has everything in his hands, okay? He sees things coming to pass, but he's telling us, no, I don't want you to be distressed. I'm letting you know what's happening so you won't be distressed. It's going to happen, I'm telling you, so you won't be distressed. He goes on to say this in verse 34. But watch yourselves. Now, he's talking to us believers. Okay, the world's going nuts. Anybody notice that? It's going nuts. That's prophesied. They're going nuts. But he says, but watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. Now look, you're just weighed down. Everybody felt weighed down. Just weighed down. It's coming. Oh, gosh, they're nuts. Everything's going wrong. You just feel weighed down. He goes, don't do that. Watch yourself. Don't do that. I'm in control here. And don't let that day come upon you suddenly like a tramp. Oh, I don't know what's happened. God's law says, I don't know what's going on. No, we know exactly what's going on. And if we're fretting, oh, it's falling apart, we can't. It just comes on us suddenly like a trap. Boom, we don't even know what's happened, right? That's what it says. It'll come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. Now, when Jesus comes the second time, who's it going to impact? All who dwell on the earth, the entire world. He got everybody, nobody skip. Then he says, but you stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things. Now look here, it comes on you suddenly like a trap, and you keep praying and standing strong that you can escape all these things. Because it's coming, praying you escape. It's coming over all the world. How are we going to escape it? You know, I mean, it doesn't leave a lot of places to hide. So you escape these things. They're going to take place. And you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen? He's letting them know. He's letting them know. Now, here's a little thing with get the rest of the Bible that helps. You know, by the way, the Bible was written between this period of time. Except John, Revelations, all right? The suddenly says, because it's going to come upon you, it'll be suddenly like a trap. It's like, whoa, you know, pay attention because it's coming, all right? That you can escape. You know what's going on, and you know you're out of here, you know, so you have strength, right, no matter what's happening to you. The suddenly equals to being caught up. Because when it talks in the Bible about being caught up, it says suddenly. It says in suddenly like a twinkling of an eye. That's suddenly. You know, I mean, your eyes twinkle, that's suddenly, okay? So the suddenly and the twinkling of an eye are the same thing. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about this time. Listen to what Apostle Paul says. Have an overhead here. Look. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we'll always be with the Lord. That's like going when you see Vespasian surrounding the city. I'm out of here. It's the same thing. He's saying, no, you're out of here. We're with Jesus. He's going to say, and we're like, and suddenly we're caught up in twinkling of an eye. We're with Jesus. We're out of here. We're out of here. And this judgment is not on us. It's just because we'll escape all things. See what he's saying? Now, this is the end time stuff. Now, in 1 Thessalonians, he ends with this statement. Now, this is important. This is how Jesus ends with it. We're saying, oh, my God, the world's coming to the end. I don't know why I'm scared to death, like all this stuff. By the way, all the non-believing people think the world's coming. Oh, it's global warming. No, I'm telling you, it's going to warm, but it ain't global warming, okay? It's Jesus warming, all right? Don't be too shook about this. Global warming is not going to undercut. Jesus is warming, all right? He's going to do the warming. Now, so you understand what's going on. You don't get wrapped up in all this nonsense. But so Paul, in the next verse here, he says this, therefore, encourage one another. So I'm encouraging you, whether you noticed it or not. I'm encouraging you. We don't have to worry about this. You see, we know what's going on. We know what's going on. Now, for us to encourage one another, because we're different. We are different. We encourage one another with this because there's something different about us. Look at this overhead, Philippians 3:20. He's telling us something. We get so wrapped up in this world, we can't see Jesus, all right? He's telling us don't do that. The things are here for our enjoyment, but there's not for our to hold, take possession of us. Philippians says this, rejoice, Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a twinkling of an eye, suddenly be caught up. When he comes up, we'll be caught up. Amen? Amen? It's suddenly, twinkling of an eye. It's a surprise. But you know what happens? Who's left? We're not here. Believers are not here. Believers. See? So the end, after the catching up of the saints, begins a seven-year tribulation that is like clockwork. It's no surprise. Revelation details it point by point by point by point. The only thing is surprise is being caught up to Jesus. That's the surprise. The end times. And then Jesus judges the world. Judges the world. And then he comes and creates a new heaven and earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? It says you should be encouraged. I just read the scripture. It says you should be encouraged. And you don't need to be weighed down with all this stuff that the world is telling you. God's got all this thing in hand. And don't be so tied to the world that you can't see Jesus, all right? So he's telling us all these things so that we can be encouraged because he's moving and he's doing his work. Therefore, okay, as the end approaches, the citizens of heaven, we have a great message. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, what? Not perish. Totally consistent with what Luke said. Not going to perish, but you're going to have eternal life. Not a hair from your head. Fall from your head. Amen? So now, there you have chapter 21 in Luke. And we did that pretty good, quick, all right? But you understand, this is what Jesus is coming in. They didn't understand. He said, no, let me tell you what's happening. The first part of it already happened. Don't let us think the second part's not going to happen. He's already done like three quarters of this already. So he says, no, it's going to happen just like I said. He said, everything I said, every jot, every tittle, everything is going to happen. And the thing of it is, we know. Amen? Why don't we stand and praise the Lord and just thank him. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your Lord, this stuff is happening. It's happening all around us. And you're just so gracious and good to speak to us and let us know what's happening. It's not like this is something we make happen. No, it is happening, and you're letting us know, and you're teaching us, and you're giving us insight so that we know how to operate in this world, so that we're alert to you, that we're paying attention to you, and we're letting you lead us down the road and be obedient to the things you've shown us. And we're here to carry a message that Jesus loves you, that Jesus doesn't want you to perish, that Jesus wants you to have eternal life with him. And the option is to be in the destruction of this world. So, Lord, we thank you that we have revelation. And you thank you that we should be encouraged because we know God is sovereign. We know God is working. We know God loves us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.